All right, good evening. Good to see you all here. Thank you, Paul. Thank you, Steve. All right, we're going to be kind of doing something more from my devotions as opposed to continuing in the journey through the Bible. We'll get back to that next Sunday. But today you're going to get in a little look into my devotions, I suppose. So I was in 2 Corinthians chapter 3. So if you want to go there, we're going to read most of that, and we'll spend a little time with that. We'll go to a few different places. But this is, if there is ever a point, I suppose, when you feel like you've learned it all, you've got it under control, you've got it all together. I know I don't. That's for sure. But we're supposed to be learning. We're supposed to be continuing to learn and grow in our faith. If you want a good devotional, it's called utmost.org. Is the website. You can go there. They have a few different. He's been around for a long time. Oswald Chambers is the guy. So some of his thoughts are in here, but it was some of what he. brought to my mind. So 2 Corinthians chapter 3, I'm going to read the whole thing because it is just that good. And when I was going through it, I was thinking I was going to do this with the men's group. But, this came up first. So we'll do this. So I'm reading from the New Living Translation. Says, are we beginning again to tell you how good we are? Some people need to bring letters of recommendations with them or ask you to write letters of recommendations for them. But the only letter of recommendation we need is you yourselves! ! Your lives are a letter written on our hearts, and everyone can read it and recognize our good work among you. Clearly, you are a letter from Christ prepared by us. It is written not with pen and ink, but with the Spirit of the living God. It is carved not on stone, but on human hearts. We are confident of all this because of our great trust in God through Christ. It is not that we think we can do anything of lasting value by ourselves. Our only power and success comes from God. He is the one who has enabled us to represent his new covenant. This new covenant, not of written laws, but of the Spirit. The old ways ends in death. The new way, the Holy Spirit gives life. That old system of law etched in stone led to death, yet it began with such glory that the people of Israel could not bear to look at Moses' face, for his face shone with the glory of God, even though the brightness was already fading away. Shouldn't we expect far greater glory when the Holy Spirit is giving life? If the old covenant, which brings condemnation, was glorious, this is the part that was exciting me, this glorious part. How much more glorious is the new covenant which makes us right with God? In fact, that first glory was not glorious at all compared to the overwhelming glory of the new covenant. So if the old covenant, which has been set aside, was full of glory, then the new covenant, which remains forever, has far greater glory. Verse 12, if you're not sure where I am. Since this new covenant gives us such confidence, we can be very bold. We're not like Moses, who put a veil over his face so the people of Israel would not see the glory fading away, but the people's minds were hardened. And even to this day, whenever the old covenant is being read, a veil covers their minds so they cannot understand the truth. And this veil can be removed only by believing in Christ, in Jesus Christ, Verse 15, yes, even today when they read Moses' writings, their hearts are covered with the veil and they do not understand. But whenever anyone turns to the Lord, then the veil is taken away. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and wherever the Spirit of the Lord is, he gives freedom. And all of us have had that veil removed so that we can be mirrors that briefly or brightly reflect the glory of the Lord. And as the Spirit of the Lord works within us, we become more and more like him and reflect his glory even more. Wow. So, there's a lot. So one of the things that's interesting with this, because this is, again, Paul writing to the Corinthians. He wrote a letter to them before 1 Corinthians. We'll go there in a moment, because you need to understand the context of why he wrote all these things, what all of this glory means. And what's kind of cool, it connects with our journey through the Bible plus with Philippians. So we're going to see all kinds of things. So thank you, Paul and Steve, putting even the music just set this up so nicely. So there are a few things that are going on. So Paul had written to them about a man who claimed to be a Christian yet was doing immoral things. If you want, you can go to 1 Corinthians 5. He was doing immoral things. He was even criticized, or this church actually was being criticized by pagans, by unbelievers, because we can't believe you're allowing this guy to be with you. The church was tolerating this man's behavior and not correcting him. Paul was saying this church needs to turn this man over to Satan. There's a lovely thought. And actually, if you look at this, this is part of what church discipline should be in a church. This is actually part of what you go to. And also Matthew 18 is another. But Paul was saying, this church needs to turn him over to Satan. The church needing to remove this man for his sin and influence in corrupting others. What was the point of turning him over to Satan? So that he would repent, that he would ask for forgiveness, and that he would be welcomed back into the church. So this was a difficult season for this church, because Paul's obviously the man, there's a problem with him, but he's going to the church. He's saying, you guys are at fault here. He's doing the wrong thing, but you need to take care of this. What's interesting about this as well, this difficult season that they're in, now, not only that, just if you look at the beginning of what I had read from 2 Corinthians, there were false teachers that were also criticizing them for listening to Paul's instructions. This idea of forgiveness. What Paul was saying was from Jesus. And this followed what Jesus had taught. Yet the false teachers said they needed to follow the law, which is what Moses gave them. However, what Jesus has given is greater. It is more glorious. So it's kind of interesting how all of this is happening and this church is trying to figure out what to do. That's 1 Corinthians. So if you look, let's just look very briefly. 1 Corinthians 5, I'm not going to read all of this, but it says this, this is Paul writing to them, I can hardly believe the report about the sexual immorality going on among you. Something so evil that even the pagans don't do it. I am told that you have a man in your church who is living in sin. And we'll leave it at that. And even though, and then verse 3, keep going down, even though I am not here there with you in person, I am with you in spirit. Concerning the one who has done this, I have already passed judgment in the name of the Lord Jesus. You are to call a meeting. And I will be there in spirit, and the power of the Lord Jesus will be with you as you meet. Then you must cast this man out of the church and into Satan's hands, so that his sinful nature will be destroyed and he himself will be saved before the Lord returns. So it's actually a good thing. He's trying to protect the church, and he's actually trying to save this man. What's interesting is he says, how terrible that you should boast about your spirituality and yet you let this sort of thing go on. Don't you realize that if even one person is allowed to go on sinning, soon all will be infected? And he talks about leavening, leavened being in the bread. So one of the things that's interesting, and I'm not here to talk about church discipline, that's not the point of this, but I am here to talk about these seasons, these difficult seasons that we go through as people, as individuals, and as a church. And you go through these times, and the question is, how we go through those times is what is so important. That's what is important to God. How we do this shows where our motivation is and where our attitude is. Keep that in mind as we go through this. So when we do this, when our motivation and our attitude is more like Christ, that's, we've been talking about this, this is that idea of becoming more like Jesus, having that mind of Christ. But listen to this part. Do we go with unveiled face, with our faces unveiled, which means to be open and honest, not hiding anything as we stand before God, then our lives may become a mirror of His. See, we are reflecting what? We are reflecting His goodness, His love, His truth to others. Because even in judgment, if it's done correctly, it's the way we need to do it. It's truth. It needs to be said. See, by being filled with the Spirit, we are transformed. Have you ever been in the presence of someone who has, you know, they have been hearing and doing the Word of God? It's just kind of, it's interesting. I mean, you can see it. You can almost feel it. When they've spent time with Him and they're focused on Him. And it's like almost like the Lord's character is just kind of shining out from them. I want to give you five things, right? They're good things to think about, I suppose. Five things. This is what I have been thinking about. So if you look at 2 Corinthians chapter 1, at the very beginning of that, because again, you got to keep it in context. Why did Paul write this letter to this church about this man? Right? So first letter, that was part of the focus, part of the problem that he was writing about. Here we are, second letter. And what's interesting to me is there is something that he wants them to do. He wants them to be comforted. Look at verse 3. All praise to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. He is the source of every mercy and the God who comforts us. He comforts us in all of our troubles so that we can comfort others. You've probably heard that before. You've probably even done that with people that you know are struggling to come alongside them. When others are troubled, we will be able to give them the same comfort God has given us. You can be sure that the more we suffer for Christ, did you hear that? The more we suffer for Christ, the more God will shower us with His comfort from Christ and through Christ. So when we are weighed down with troubles, it is for your benefit and salvation. For when God comforts us, it is so that we can, we in turn can be an encouragement to you. Then you can patiently endure the same things or the same kinds of suffering. We are confident that as you share in sufferings, you will also share God's comfort. So one of the things that happens in those difficult seasons, when we go into these difficult times, we can have God's comfort. He's already shown that to us through Christ by simply being saved. You are comforted. And then he adds more. And he gives more. And he even takes whatever struggle you're going through to use to help others. So one of the things that as we think about this, as we are being transformed, as we can reflect God's face, part of that is in how we comfort others. Another thing that we need to be aware of, so the second thing is be aware of false teachers. And again, it's interesting when you look at this, because they will criticize. They do it today, they did it then. And the idea is always go back to what you know. Go backwards. Don't go forward with Jesus, but go backwards. They'll say Moses is who we follow. He is the greatest. He met with God. See, the problem is this man, from their perspective, this man who had done these immoral things to them, he should be stoned. He should be killed for his behavior. He does not get another chance. Think of that compared to what the New Covenant talks about. It talks about forgiveness. Go to 2 Corinthians 2. And again, I'm just kind of going through this. This is the connections I was making in this. But 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 5 through 7, it says this. I am not overstating it when I say that the man who caused all the trouble hurt your entire church more than he hurt me. He was punished enough when most of you were united in your judgment against him. Verse 7, now. You took care of that. You did the right thing. You listened to what I said. Now it is time to forgive him and comfort him. Otherwise, he may become so discouraged that he won't be able to recover. Now show him that you still love him. See, that's one of the things that is so different in the new covenant, which is in Christ, is this idea of forgiveness. This idea of we can be forgiven. And then for the rest to come alongside again. But the false teachers, that's not how they're thinking of things. Another one, just even as number three, beware of the devil. If you notice in that, you know, 1 Corinthians 5 brings him up. Turn him over to him so that his pride will be humbled, that he will be destroyed, that which is keeping him from being what God wants him to be will be taken away. He will recognize it. Go to 2 Corinthians 4. That's after. Go to the right. Listen to this. It says, if the good news was preached is veiled from anyone, it is a sign that they are perishing. Satan, the god of this evil world. Remember, we were talking about that last week. Satan has been removed from heaven and is on this earth. He is real and he is active. Satan, the god of this evil world, has blinded the minds of those who don't believe, so they are unable to see the glorious light of the good news that is shining upon them. They don't understand the message we preach about the glory of Christ, who is the exact likeness of God. They miss it. We need to be aware of the devil. See, he gets in the way. He is a distraction. See, one of the things that's interesting, go back to the church or even an individual. See, you cannot change. You can't change. You're no different than all the rest of regular people. You're just being spiritual. People can't change. You are no better than this guy. And on top of it, think about what he said to Adam and Eve. Do you really believe? Is that what God said? You're no better than an unbeliever. You did not forgive. Think about that. What marks us as a church? Are these the things, the goodness, love, forgiveness? Is that what we are known for? Is that what you're known for as an individual? Is that what you're known for, or as we are known for as a church? Number four, allow the Holy Spirit to work on you. I'll spend a little bit of time with the application on that, but let the Holy Spirit work on you. And that's what we want. I mean, I don't know about you, but that's what I want. I want to continue to grow. I want to continue to become more like Christ. But it's got to be the Holy Spirit working on us. Working on us, taking those things out so that we can be more like him, that we can reflect his glory, and not only reflect his glory back to him, but reflect that glory to others. Number five, the last thing, focus on Jesus. Enjoy the freedom. That's verse 17 of 2 Corinthians 3. I know it took you all over the place. 2 Corinthians 3, focus on Jesus. Enjoy the freedom we have in Christ. So our goal should be in the Christian life is this unfailing concentration on God. This is from Oswald Chambers. If God requires it, we must be willing to set aside our concerns for everything else. And he says work, food, clothing, shelter, everything. The busyness of modern life tends to draw our attention away from God, darkening the mirror within. We put other things before him. Usually the thing that distracts this reflection is even a good thing, a worthy concern. It is the good that is the enemy of the best. That's Oswald Chambers. That's back like 1940. See, we need to let other things come and go as they may. Again, these are some thoughts that came to my head. Let other people criticize as they will. And I just want to take you over to Colossians 3 real quick. Go past Philippians. Go to Colossians 3. Hang in there. We're getting there. But this is good. So it's he says this, since, so that's an accomplished fact. This is an accomplished, it's already done. Since you have been raised to new life with Christ, set your sights on the realities of heaven where Christ sits at God's right hand in the place of honor and power. Let heaven fill your thoughts. Do not think only about things down here on earth, for you died when Christ died, and your real life is hidden with Christ in God. It's secure. It's safe. So we never need to let anything disturb the life that is hidden with Christ in God. never be hurried out of that relationship of abiding and enduring with him, in him. See, and again, this is the one thing that tends to get pushed aside in our busy lives, in my life and in your life. And it's the one thing that shouldn't. So if we think about it, God allows these seasons to come so we will focus on what is really important. He allows these seasons to come so we will grow stronger in our relationship with God. We learn to trust in him. That last verse, I was going to spend the whole time just on that last verse, but I'll give you the short version. The glory to glory part, right? So from one degree of glory to an even greater degree of glory. So if you look in the Amplified Bible, they actually translate that really well. It's probably one of the best ones because it says just that, exactly what the Greek says, that it's, here's the glory, but there's an even greater glory. What is that greater glory? So as we learn to grow and trust and put our faith in God, we develop a stronger bond with him. As God brings these things, whatever they may be, whatever these things are, he does that for our good. We don't always like that. But he is interested in the how. See, it's the key to all of this. The motivation, the attitude, the actions, behaviors, the change has to do with the how. And what's interesting is what this is saying is that God allows us to graduate from one glory to an even greater glory. A higher glory. So listen, this is not if I do those five things, I'm going to go to a higher glory. I'm going to get better. Or it's not about something, a task or something that you accomplish. It's not a grade that you get. But instead it goes back to asking the Holy Spirit to search me. My motivation. Am I motivated by what motivates Jesus? My attitude. What was my attitude while going through that season? How about my actions? Have I changed to be more like Christ? See, that's what God is interested in. The Corinthians in this were conflicted, they were distracted, so Paul needed to get them back on track. He needed them to be listening and choosing to do what God had said, the instructions that Paul was giving. So I want to ask you to listen to this last part, and I have an application for it, and basically it's this. It is one of the toughest disciplines we undergo as Christians, and that is the discipline of keeping our focus on the glory of the Lord. Every one of us struggles with it. At some point, sometime, and it could be one of those seasons for you. But he's saying, stay with me. Hang in there. And I don't mean that like cliche kind of thing. But he's saying we need to keep looking at what is God teaching us through these things. Some of that application, some things to think about. And I guess you could think of it this way. What are the areas of your life that are not glorious? So here's some questions to ponder. Have you acknowledged your dependence on God to help you through the season you're in? Have you brought your expectations to him? And in different seasons of your life, we all have expectations. This is the way I want it to be. This is what I hope it will happen. It doesn't always work out that way. Second, another thing, have you truthfully looked at yourself with God about your attitude or behavior? something you see in yourself that you don't want others to know? Have you asked him to search you, to check yourself against his standard? And again, that's painful. That's our pride in there. That's those, you know, but it can be painful, but it can also be short as we go to him. And what the great part is that's when change actually happens, when we choose Christ. So Paul, I'm going to close in prayer. So I know you have one more song that we're going to do together. I'd like to pray with you. Heavenly Father, I want to take the veil off of my eyes and get honest with you. I want my desire to be to bring you glory and to bring you honor. There are parts of my life that are not glorious. And I ask for your Spirit's help so I can grow closer to you. Lord, also I want to thank you for the season I am in, that folks here are in, and to see it as another opportunity to grow. Also want to thank you for Jesus, for the victories in my life because of you. I want to be transformed and continue to bring you glory. Thank you for your Spirit, because he has helped me, and I know he's helped me, but he will help us in the process of this change. So may you be praised, may you be honored, may you give us strength so that we could be vulnerable.